Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been, of course, this is the service where we talk about the born-again trail. And as the Lord's been, the way He's been showing it to me, we've kind of titled mine on the golden man. And boy, do we still have a lot to learn. I'm telling you what. I had one of those running fit episodes a week ago, last Thursday. I just had this a little while. And it's one of those, you know, when you really get something from God, I don't know how other people describe stuff, but once it explodes in my spirit, and instantly the revelation runs from Genesis to maps, both ways. And verses all along the trail just start plugging into the revelation, and I'm going, oh my God. And I get so excited, and what David said, that my spirit got it. And I run in to tell Sue, and I'm a blithering idiot. Because my mind is still trying to bring this up, you know. And my spirit already understands it, and it's jumping and doing cartwheels on the inside. And my mind is going, what's all the commotion about? I'm trying to, you know, let me in on this. And so it takes a while, and I've had a little over a week is all to digest this. But, oh, my God. All we're going to be able to do today is introduce this. But, Andy, if your feet aren't glued to the floor, you better hang on here. Starting in Ephesians 4, we'll just start in verse 17. And for time's sake, you know, whenever you find the word therefore, it said, this I say, therefore. If we had time, we'd go back and lay the foundation, but you can do that this afternoon during that private time with the Lord, you know. That's right after the buffet. Lay before the Lord, you know. Usually after the buffet, I lay before the Lord on the couch. And, hallelujah. Rejoice in His goodness. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, and boy, is this what we want, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, boy, you ought to underline, if you mark in your Bible, underline that, circle it, put little eyeballs out in the margin, look, you know, write look. Whatever you do to draw your attention. We're going to come back to that statement in just a minute. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, we're in the King James Version that I have, there's a footnote, and really the word there is hardness. And I believe you'll find that to be a better word. I'll show you why in a minute. We're going to look at a prophecy from Ezekiel. But the word there, because of the hardness, which could be translated blindness, but because of the prophecy and the way it's worded there, I think you'll like hardness better, hardness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, we don't want to walk like that, do we? Now, isn't it interesting that Paul is writing a letter to born-again, spirit-filled Christians, saying, because of everything I've said to you up to now, therefore I say unto you, you really hadn't ought to walk like these people. You spirit-filled, golden people. Right now in the Baptist church, you give an altar call right now. You know, you have a rededication service. I used to wear the knees of my pants out rededicating, after, you know. But we're not going that direction. We're going to go a different direction. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him. By who? Holy Spirit is your teacher. He brings you the mind of Christ. As the truth is in Jesus. Now here, boy, get this. That you put off concerning the former conversation. That word conversation is a King James word that means manner of life. Your pattern of living. Put off concerning the former pattern of living of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Is that golden man? That's the golden man, isn't it? That's what we're trying to do in these. That's why we're here at 8:30 looking so pretty, isn't it? We're here trying to learn how to do this very thing. Put on the golden man, this new man. And boy, now here's some good news. This is what we got to believe down to our socks. I mean, regardless of your behavior, you have to believe this creature is in you. This is what Smith saw the day he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. God opened up his vision where he could see that perfect being within him. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, that perfect being is in you. That's what we've got to believe. He's in there. It's like Prego. He's in there. Anyway. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is, already is. He's in you, created in righteousness and true holiness. Now just say this after me. There is a perfect being within me. It is a new creature of God. It's already in me. And it is created righteous. And it is created in true holiness. My job is to learn how to put that inner man on my outer man. Amen. Let's look at the prophecy. Hold your place here because we're coming back. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. This was prophesied of old by the prophet. They saw these things afar off, knowing that the Spirit of God was revealing things to them that they would not walk in their lifetime. But they saw it. God doesn't do anything in the earth unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Here's Ezekiel, foretelling what God was going to do in our dispensation. And we'll just pick it up in verse 26, because all we want really is to understand that what we're reading there in Ephesians is the fulfillment of what the prophet Ezekiel prophesied in the Old Testament. But there's a point here you've got to get. Starting in verse 26, we'll start in verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen. Did I give you the right? It's Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. I will take you from among the heathen. Everyone say, thank God for that. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, including Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. And I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now get this. Remember that thing about hardness of heart? Watch this. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Now get this part. You've got, this is it. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the golden man coming from the inside to the outside. But now notice particularly in verse 26, the middle part of the verse. This is what the devil defeats. This is right here is where the devil defeats us all the time. And look what God says. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Now, I know probably none of you had this problem. I'm lying. I know all of you had this problem. Well, we do, because this is the devil's number one. This is his number one tool to keep us defeated. Every time you mess up, every time you do something that you're ashamed of, there's a little voice somewhere down inside. Maybe you've learned to overcome it. Some don't. Some backslide because of it. Be a little voice somewhere down in there that says, you're not changed. You're still just an old sinner saved by grace. You're really not changed at your core. How could you be a child of God and act like that? And whether we realize it or not, that is the critical point. Because if you still, see, you don't have two natures in you. You was born the first time with the spirit of the world. You could say the spirit of Adam. You could say the spirit of bondage unto fear. You was born with death in your nature. You only had one spirit in you, your human spirit, and it had death in it. Now, at the new birth, you did not retain that spirit and get another spirit. God says, I'm going to take that heart, that old stony heart you was born with the first time, and I'm going to take it out. And I'm going to put mine in there instead. Now, you've got to understand, just like Smith Wigglesworth was shocked, no doubt, the day that he saw that perfect being on the inside of him, I'm beginning to be shocked at the reality of the fact I've got one in me too. And when I miss it, it's not coming from that golden man. If that's the case, where is it coming from? The soul and the flesh. But mainly today we're going to talk about the soul. Go back to Ephesians. Now, hallelujah. Now watch this. Look at verse 22 again, Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or the former pattern of life, your former mode of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, if anyone would have asked me, see, following down the born-again trail, learning these things, okay, I was born the first time with the spirit of Adam. I understand that. I had death in my spirit. But when I got saved, that man really died. He died. You remember when Dave taught us about the body of sin is destroyed? And that's that embodiment of sin on the inside of us, that death nature we were born with. It was crucified with Christ. When you receive Christ, that spirit was literally taken out. God put that new spirit of Him in you. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The spirit of Him, the spirit of God that raised Jesus is now in you. Got that? But now, so understanding that, okay, and I know our goal now is to walk by that new nature. Work over and over again, Paul and the other ones admonish us, walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, you should walk in the Spirit. That's what we're trying to accomplish, isn't it? So knowing that, if you had asked me, okay, Gary, I know now as a born-again Christian, you're attempting to walk by the new nature. If you'd just asked me, if Brutus said, well, what nature did you walk by before you got saved? Or how did you walk before? What was your pattern of behavior before you got saved? What was your mode of conversation? Well, I'd have said, well, I walk by the old nature. No, we didn't. No, you didn't. You just, that's a lie. You remember when Dave was teaching us, since all of us were born with death in our nature, we all had the capacity to be Hitlers. That's true, isn't it? Why didn't we, though? Why didn't we let that capacity come to full blossom and all of us become rapists and murderers and killers? And why didn't we all become monsters? All right? You never dared walk by that old nature. From the time you were born, the first word you learned was probably no. Your mama, your daddy, whoever it was raised you, they started from the time you was just able to understand anything. Through discipline, through instruction, they started training you how to restrain that death nature. Then you got into school and they started teaching you social values. If you were raised in a godly home, they taught you the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And you're, that death nature is going, but I want to, I want to, I want to. But they trained us through the soul, religious training, social training, and really all civilizations. You take the laws of any land, whether it be Islam or any other, they may not realize what they're doing, but all of those laws that we call civilization, if you steal that loaf of bread, we'll cut your hand off. All of those are instruction for the soul with reward and punishment attached so that your soul will restrain that death nature. Now, even the law given by God to Israel was for that very purpose. He knew those people weren't born again. God forbid they live unrestrained by that old nature. They'd all become Attila's the Hun. They'd all become Stalin's. That we all had that capacity. That's the nature we were born with. So God gives them the law, what the New Testament calls the carnal commandment, something for the soul, something for the brain, with a reward and punishment system, did it not? The whole idea being, you better restrain that sin nature. Now, every now and then, as you know, now we're up to Romans 7. There's a guy in that condition, the unsaved Jew, given the law with no nature to keep it. But yet he tries. He wants to. God, I want to do this. I want to obey the law. I don't want that sin. May not have understood it to that level, but what he's really saying is, I don't want to let that nature run wild. I want to serve you. So he tried to keep the law by effort of the soul and energy of the flesh, and every now and then still, you sin. That sin nature escapes a little bit. You lie. You cheat. You steal. You do something. That's why the sacrifices. Otherwise, that's why the sacrifices. God knew what condition they were in, so he provided a temporary sacrifice till the Lamb could come and take away the sin of the world. Now, with understanding that, let's go back to Ephesians again. Because always before, when I'd read this passage, verse 22 especially, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, I thought he was saying, stop, Gary, I'm writing this letter to you personally, stop walking by the sin nature. I thought that's what he meant. I never walked by the sin nature. That's not the pattern of behavior of the old man. The pattern of behavior for all of us was to walk by our soul to restrain our spirit. And society, the better you were at that process, the more society called you a good person. My God, John, have you been down on the same beach with him? Look at the tan on him. He just got back from Florida. I don't know where you got that. But isn't that true? We walked by our soul. All of us did. You say, can I have another witness on that? You don't have to go very far. Back up just a few verses. Paul tells you plainly the pattern of behavior of the Gentiles, the unsaved world. Watch this. Verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How are they walking? In the vanity of their mind. Their mind. Is your mind your spirit? No. It's in your soul. The intellect, the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's how unbelievers walk. And sadly, that's how most of us are still walking. It's all we know. We didn't dare walk by that sin nature. We didn't dare. My God, if I let that... Well, I'll just use me. I won't pick on anybody. I've been mad enough, I mean, especially in high school and all that before I got saved, I've been mad enough to kill people. I wanted them dead and I wanted to dance on their grave and invite friends to watch. But why didn't I? My soul instructed me it was in my best interest not to kill them. I didn't kill them because I was having mercy on them. I didn't kill them because I wanted mercy on me. I didn't want to die in the electric chair. You understand what I'm saying? You know? We didn't walk by that nature. If I'd have walked by that nature, I'd have killed a dude. That nature is sin personified. It's death to the max. And if I'd have walked by it, I'd have killed him. No, I was walking by my mind. I was walking by my soul. All of us did. All of us did. Now, that was a good thing when you weren't saved. It's a good thing for all of civilization to walk by the laws of the land. I'm understanding now why Paul's saying you obey every ordinance of man. It's a good thing. The Bible says the law is for the lawless. Amen? All right, now the problem is, though, now we've passed from death to life in our nature. That spirit on the inside of us is not like that anymore. We have to start believing that. There is a creature on the inside of every born-again child of God that is already created righteous and with true holiness. You let that spirit loose, and it's going to love on that enemy. Now, your soul may not even like it, because the soul part is not renewed yet. I was trying to think about how to demonstrate this. Guy trying to learn to walk by the new nature. Put on the new man, it says. Put on that new man, see. So a guy's trying to learn how to do this. Now, I, just for teaching's sake here, I was just thinking about this. Because all my whole life, I have worked very hard to restrain my spirit. I didn't realize that until just this last week. My whole life. In fact, the better I restrained it, the more society called me good. You know? Well, you're a good man. People said that about me when I was lost as a goose. I was pretty good at restraining my spirit. And the better I did it, the more little pats on the back I got. So there's positive reinforcement to learn. The way to be get acceptance and for society to call you good is be real good at restraining that death nature by yourself. So everything I've ever learned and everything that ever really brought me satisfaction and pats on the back was my wonderful ability to restrain my spirit by my soul. And then I get saved. God takes out that old stony heart, the one that needed restraining. He puts in a new spirit, which has the life of God in it. Our revival lives in those natures, you know. Everything we're after, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the miracles, the lame walking, they all come by the conduit of that new nature on the inside of us. And now the New Testament's saying, let that man run free. Let that man run free. And we're going, we don't know how to live by the Spirit. We don't have any practical experience living by the Spirit. All we've ever known is the pattern of our former behavior, which was to restrain our spirit by our soul. See how this ties in with Wednesday night? Saving the soul is really the issue for the New Testament Christian. Saving the soul is the issue. Everything about your development right now is learning how to live. Okay, since I'm using this kind of microphone, let me do it like this. Yes, Ray. Ray already saw it coming. Because they were at the house last night. We were pounding the table and talking about this. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to, for benefit of the tape, I'm holding up my hand made into a fist. Let's talk. This fist represents the spirit of Adam. This is what I was born with. It's my core. If I let that guy run free, I'm going to be a monster. I'm going to be another Hitler, Stalin, or worse. As I understand it, the Antichrist is going to make Hitler look like a choir boy. It's going to be that nature run completely loose. But anyway, all of us were born with a spirit of death, represented here by my fist. All right, from the time we were little bitty, our mamas, our schools, our churches, till you got saved, my other hand is going to represent my soul. They taught you through moral codes, religious training, and even experience, like, okay, I found out that if I pull that girl's pigtail, she's going to whack me with her book. You see, you learn by experience. But all those things train the soul to come down for benefit of the tape. I'm placing my right hand to cover that fist and restrain it. Our souls have been trained to restrain that death nature on the inside. That's the pattern that the old man walks by. The vanity of our minds. Vanity of our minds. All right, now, you get born again. Now I'm starting all over. Holding up my fist again. Now, this spirit on the inside of me now represents the very life of God. This is the conduit by which God flows into the earth. Just like He flowed through the life in Jesus Christ the anointing of the Holy Spirit for God's will in heaven to come to the earth, and it flowed through the Spirit of Jesus Christ out into the world. That new nature that was on the inside of him, we've got that nature. The whole idea is to let this guy run free. You know? So, the problem is, we don't have any experience with that. Everything that ever called us to be called good was operating by the soul to restrain our spirit. Okay? Now, when I first saw this, how many of y'all remember this? From Dave's teachings on the flesh and the spirit and fasting? See? So, you know how it is, how he taught that. This is your spirit man. Starts out below the flesh. So what you got to do is you got to fast the flesh, pray in tongues, fast, pray, fast. You know, your spirit man is sealed by the flesh, you know. And you fast and you pray, they break even, there's a war. And finally your spirit man breaks on top. Hooray, hooray, you know. We got things are working, hallelujah. And pretty soon the flesh goes, no you don't. And, you know, and the war goes over again. Well, when I saw this about the soul, I thought, okay, I got it. I'm having running fits around the ugly building. I'm having hallelujah shouts. I'm going, okay, I see it now. So what we got to do, we got to pray and fast, and I got to get my spirit man up on top of my soul. And that's what I got to do. I got to squash that soul. And trouble is, you go pray some more in other tongues. And the Spirit starts bringing up verses like, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And I'm going, now, wait a minute. Y'all know the context there. You're in church. Let's say you're a prophet and you're listening as another prophet is giving the revelation that God gave to him. And you're just sitting there minding your own business. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit illuminates you with a revelation. Well, now if you let your spirit run free, you want to deliver this. So you jump up and interrupt the first prophet and then four or five guys all do this. And pretty soon we've got chaos and nobody gets anything out of the service. So what happens there? Now your spirit, righteous and holy, received a revelation from God. It wants to jump up and go, wow, and interrupt. But it says, no, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now what would that be if it's not your soul? Your soul says, no, wait a minute, you'll get your turn. We can sit here and restrain this for just a little while. You'll get your turn. Just raise your hand when this prophet's done. And sooner or later, they'll let you get up and do it. So with the flesh, it's absolutely true. The flesh cannot be saved. I think that'll do. Thanks, Ray. The flesh cannot be saved. It cannot be redeemed. It is utterly corrupt and vile. That's why we wait in hope for the redemption, for the adoption to be complete, the redemption of our bodies. Folks, that isn't until the trump sounds. So the spirit, as far as the flesh is concerned, it has to flat just be considered dead, put under. But it's not that way with the soul. What we're trying to do with the soul is not a matter of the flesh, like jumping up on top of the soul. Let me do it like this. It's not for the spirit to jump up and just squash the soul like the flesh. No, the idea is for the spirit and the soul to work together like a hand in a glove. Now you're starting to understand all those verses. Well, he tells you right here in the next verse, Ephesians 4. So what is the goal? What is the goal? Verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Boy, if that's not praying in other tongues, I don't know what is. Do you remember Dave teaching us about the spirit man? And he says, your spirit, you have a spirit mind, just like you have a natural mind. Remember that? All those hours, you see, we're going, I don't know how to let my spirit run free. I don't know how. It's a mystery to me how a person would do that. Let's see now. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. All of those things that we haven't known, we don't know how to do it. We've never walked by the spirit before. We've always walked by the soul. I don't know how to do it. Can anyone teach me? It's a mystery to me. How about giving me a little while praying in other tongues? What's a mystery to you now, I will explain to you to where it won't be a mystery. One time the Holy Spirit said to me, well, actually, I think it was the Lord by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a This is a great revelation, you know. You guys will just fall on your face at the glory of this. The Lord Jesus said to me one time, "The anointing is no mystery to me." The trouble is, it really was revelation to me. I'd never thought about it. He says, "I understand every facet of it. There's not any part of it I don't understand." He says, "If you'll yield yourself to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, I'll make it no mystery to you." Our soul is going to have to start yielding. And really, it's not exactly, I don't like yielding as much now as I do learning to cooperate with the holy, with the new nature, that golden creature, that golden man on the inside of us that is already created righteous and holy. Now think about Smith Wigglesworth again. Logical examples, or practical examples. How many of you know, everyone knows who Smith is, I hope. Most of you have probably heard the story about the time they brought in a cancer victim who was already so bad he was down to 80 pounds. They brought him in on a stretcher. The doctor came with him, had a stethoscope, because this man was just one step from death. It was one of Smith's meetings. They brought him in on the stretcher, placed him up there on the platform. When it came time for Smith to minister to this guy, comes over there. Now, Smith learned how to operate by the Spirit, not by his logical mind. Spirit of God apparently said, "Punch him in the stomach as hard as you can." Smith's a big man. He's 6 foot, burly sort, plumber. He goes, this 80-pound man, just breaths away from death. Smith comes over, "In the name of Jesus, pow!" And I mean, hits him hard. And the doctor's just aghast, as you can imagine. The doctor, he's got the stethoscope going. He's going, starts screaming out, "You've killed him! You've killed him!" And of course, Smith was Welsh, you know, and had that accent. And he said, "He's healed! He's healed! He's healed!" And he just turns and starts ministering to the next person in the line. And the doctor's over there with the stethoscope and no heartbeat, and he's going, "You've killed him. He's dead," you know. And Smith, he just continues on ministering down the line. As far as he's concerned, it's done. He obeyed the Spirit. And of course, y'all have heard the story. He was about three people down the line, and suddenly that 80-pound man in a Pentecostal holiness church with a hospital gown split down the back gets up off of the stretcher and starts following Smith down the line. And he's going, "I'm healed. I'm healed." He couldn't even walk, couldn't anything. And now he's walking with bare backsides down the aisle of, you know, down the in a Pentecostal holiness church, you know, and you know. Now see, Smith learned how to let his spirit escape the restraints of the soul. Now with us, most of us, we're up there ministering. They bring in an 80-pound man, just breaths away. The Spirit of God says, "Punch him in the stomach." Now, before, first off, you better, bless God, learn how to hear the Spirit. Because this is not a formula, I'm telling you. You don't go punching them in the stomach. Say, "Smith did it, I'll do it." You're going to prison, honey, most likely. You're going to kill somebody. But anyway, Smith did hear it by the Spirit. That's what he heard. Now, if Smith was operating by the soul, like 99.9% of us, yours truly included, what is your soul? Your soul is observing the external, and you hear instructions from the golden man. The Holy Ghost said from the Lord, "Punch this guy in the stomach as hard as you can." And your soul, now if you're still operating by the soul, you're going, "He'll die. His family will sue me. I'm going to be bankrupt. The ministry will be discredited. I'll never get to preach in another church as long as I live. And they may even put me in prison for manslaughter." Now the soul is not going to allow the Spirit, or really allow you to obey the Spirit, If you're still walking according to the manner of living, the pattern of behavior of the old man, and you're still walking in the vanity of your mind. That's what we've done our whole life. Because we had to restrain the evil nature, but now we're trying to let the new nature come out. And you don't have both of them in there. You don't have both of them in there. The spirit that's in you is of Him that raised Jesus from the dead. You know that. Remember Dave, so patiently, week after week. We had a hard time with that one, didn't we? Now here's how the Lord, you know, He has to get it real simple for me. That spirit of Him. Well, let's just go over there because some of you are kind of looking at me. Romans 8. Of course, in this church, your Bible, if you just, it just falls open to Romans 8, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, we'll just start in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, now that is that word right there, if Christ be in you, that is the new nature. He's all he's saying there. Are you born again? You were of Adam, you know. You were born of Adam the first time. That nature that was in you was of him, of Adam. Now you're born of the second man, the last Adam. Your spirit came from the spiritual loins of Jesus Christ himself. That's what he's talking about. All right, now. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, little s, your human spirit, is life. Because of righteousness. Now, if the spirit of him that raised up... Now, spirit of him is the key phrase. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, because of that song we sing, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. I'm sorry, Andrea. Dwell in you. I have no gift for this. Because of that song, it's a fine song, but we just always assumed that to be the Holy Ghost. And it took Dave how many lessons to get it across to us? No, that is the Spirit of Him. And man, my mind is chewing on this. Those are those tapes, the kind I listen to 15 times, and I'm going, tell it to me again, Dave. Tell it to me again, Dave. Let me listen to the tape again. And finally, here's the way the Holy Spirit got it to me. Listen, Adam, in the beginning, God made him, made his body. He's got a mind and all the parts that go into a brain and everything there. But he's dead, isn't he? So what did God do? Reached on the inside of himself, of him, and breathed life into Adam. Now Jesus Christ is called the firstborn from the dead. He couldn't be the firstborn from the dead if all that's talking about is firstborn from physical death. There were a lot of them in the Old Testament resurrected that way, brought back to physical life after they had physically died. Now, the only way he can be the firstborn from the dead. Now, we're not talking about Christ in his deity. We're talking about Jesus in his humanity, his human spirit. Identified completely with fallen man. And of his own nature, of his own will, he never committed any sin. But he became sin. And he totally identified with us. His light went out. That's hard for us to take, but it is the truth. His light went out. And when he was suffering 3 days and three nights in hell, he had that nature in him. He had identified 100% with us. That's how all of our sin, he became the sin bearer, the scapegoat. Positionally, all the sins of all men everywhere, he took into himself, bore them away into the wilderness of hell, and perished. Just like the scapegoat type. Old Testament. So now God's looking, and here's the second man. His son, who did this voluntarily because of his great love for us and his great love for the Father. Now the second man, the last Adam, is laying there in hell, dead. When justice, the price of justice had been paid, God the Father, by his Spirit, came down right into hell.
and breathed the breath of life back into his son. And if the spirit of him came from the inside of him, the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That same life that came into Jesus that raised him from hell is the same life that came into you when you got born again. That old nature was born away, and I mean Jesus paid a terrible price to take it out of us, that stony heart. God forbid we let the devil convince us we've still got it. Step one, we have to believe, and I mean believe down to our socks, that that golden man on the inside of you is created righteous and in true holiness. And then it's just a minute. Now we know where the battlefield is. The devil keeps saying, there's something wrong with you. You're not really saved. There's something wrong with you at your core. You're still lost. It didn't work for you. It worked for Michael. It didn't work for you. Yes, it did. Amen. You've got a spirit on the inside that is of him. Breathed into you. When you got born again, God himself breathed his own life in there. And there is a perfect being on the inside of each and every one of us. We've got to have that resolve. That's step one. You've won the first victory. Never again let the devil convince you you're an old sinner saved by grace. You are not. You were an old sinner with a death nature. By his grace, he took that stony death nature out of you and he put the spirit which is of him in you. Now the battle is in the soul, honey. That's where the soul and the flesh, that's the only two battlegrounds left. Don't you be let. I mean, God is on your side. Now you're understanding better. Why Pastor Dave says, when you miss it, when you sin big, don't run from God. Amen. Run to him. Amen. Be like the prodigal, but have more sense. Don't wait so long to come to yourself. Run back. The Father's out on the front porch scouring the horizon to see if he'll come. Because he knows you need him now more than ever. You need him now. When you miss it, that's when it says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. I like grace to help. Grace is wonderful, but something about those words. I want grace that helps me. Grace that helps me. I don't want to continue walking like I have in the past. I don't want to walk in the vanity of my mind as the other Gentiles walk. I don't want to spend the rest. I'm 52. I don't want to spend the rest of my life walking in the soul. I want to let that golden man out. I found out this last week that the battle is not in my spirit. That battle has been won. There is a golden man on the inside of me. And the only battle really is the saving of my soul, to learn how to train my soul to cooperate with him. Once we learn that, now then God himself can flow through our spirit, by his spirit, out into the world. The cripples will be getting out of the chairs. The blind will see. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. And this gospel can be preached to every nation, tongue, kindred, and tribe. And Jesus can come again and take us home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just stand up and praise him. Praise him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We've been born again. We've been born again. Your spirit is in us. Your spirit is in us. You breathe life into us, Lord. Oh, Father, teach us. Teach us how to work with you, but with our soul. Teach us how to cooperate with that spirit. Teach us, Father. Michael, I got to hear that crimson river. That crimson river. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. Is this good news or what? You've been born again. In your nature, you are already righteous and created in true holiness. We're going to learn how to walk by the Spirit, not by the soul. Hallelujah.